Good morning, church family. This morning I'll be reading out of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 9. Okay, Proverbs chapter 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle. The man declares to Ithiel, and Ucal, "Surely I am more stupid than any man, and I do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be proved a liar. Two things I asked of thee. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God." Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for all that you do give us in this life. And thank you, Father, for all that you choose to withhold from us. Give us, Father, our portion, lest we be full and deny you, or lest we be in want and steal. Help us, Father, to see everything that comes our way in this life is from your hand. And help us, Father, to be your witnesses to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning to all of you. Good to see you here this morning. Looks like our crowd's a little thin here this morning, eh? Well, Lord, help them to get out of bed. Amen. It's good to see you. Be sure and take a look inside the bulletin and make yourself, make it known to yourself all of the announcements and the activities of the church. And we would ask at this time that you would stand to your feet and let's take a few moments to greet one another. I'm going to ask if you would that you would bow with me in prayer again. And of course, we want to remain in a prayerful attitude. But my heart is really heavy. If you haven't heard the news, I don't want to take the time to tell you about all that has gone on here. I don't think even the pulpit is the place to talk about such things. But my heart is heavy for the folks in Colorado Springs and the congregation there whose pastor has been found to be in sin and has confessed to at least part of the accusations. Also, I want to thank God that at least they had an eldership that took the right action and dismissed him. And we pray for his restoration, and truly, if he is a brother, he will be restored. But my heart is heavy for those people, and I just think it would be right for us to pray for them, don't you? Our Heavenly Father, you are pure and holy. And Lord, since you have granted us sonship in your name, and we are holy and blameless in your sight, we, Lord, are to walk worthy of the high calling to which you have called us. And so while, Lord, we do not seek to condemn anybody, we do ask, Lord, that you would help us. Preserve us, O God. Keep us from sin. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. O God, save us from our trespasses and our sins. Lift us, O God, and keep us in your hand. And Lord, may we remember that we are but frail human flesh, and we have a great need to cry out to you and to depend upon you. So first and foremost, Lord, we repent of our sinfulness. And Lord, we lay our lives bare before you and ask, Lord, that you would have your perfect will in us. And Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Colorado Springs and indeed around the world, we pray, Father, that you will strengthen them. We know, Lord, we realize that for many of them, this time is a great time of testing. And Lord, may not a one of your sheep turn from you, but may they follow your voice because you know them and they know your voice. And whatever problems assail us, whatever their trials come our way, O God, may we walk with you. And Lord, may we learn, as we discussed the other night, may we learn, Lord, that it is not your way to take us around the trials, but you take us through them. And so, Lord, we ask that you would walk with our brothers and sisters, that you would strengthen them and hold them. And Lord, that through this time of testing, that they would draw closer to you, never, Lord, relying upon a man, but Lord, always relying upon you. Lord, I pray for their strength, for their continuance, for their endurance. And Lord, may they be sure of the assurance they have in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things according to the beautiful, lovely name of Jesus, who shed his blood for his church. Amen. Amen. Well, mankind has long been on a quest to extend life. We read how on April the 3rd, 1513, Ponce de Leon discovered the land he called La Florida. When the natives led him to a freshwater spring, he thought that perhaps with the discovery of a new land, that he had discovered the fountain of life. We smile at this notion today, yet our desire to extend life continues, doesn't it? Untold masses of time, energy, and resources, along with billions upon billions of dollars, have been spent in an effort to raise the quality and extend the duration of life. It is within mankind to survive as well and as long as possible, always searching, if you will, for everlasting life. But there is another issue that intrigues mankind, and it is to know the meaning of life through understanding where we came from and why we exist. It's thought that if we can understand our origin, that we will understand the meaning of life and our purpose and thus find significance. As we open to John's Gospel this morning, we're going to hear of the origin of life. And we are going to gain answers to some of these questions, the questions men seek to answer. Here this morning in this holy book, in a few sentences, we have the answers freely given, yet many men have rejected them, opting to spend their entire lives and billions of our dollars trying to find their own answers. How interesting it is that men will not accept the answers God Himself has freely provided for us in a few short words in this book. They are unwilling to rest in the clear and concise written truth of God. Truly, the Scripture speaks of them when it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. For it is written, He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." Let us not be among those who are foolish. Let us not be taken into the foolish reasoning of those who think they are wiser than God. But let us read and understand these words that we might live by them, possessing the very answers that the so-called wise of the world expend their fleeting days and material resources to gain. Let us believe what God has freely granted us in His Word. Introduction on the handout. As we open the Scripture this morning, let us be careful not to pass over these verses too quickly. For here in a few words, God has written for our learning some of the deepest truths we will ever hear. I am amazed at the profound, life-changing truth that God communicates in so few words. MacArthur writes, referring to these verses as spirit-inspired economy of words, of which F.F. Bruce writes, that it is designed to make the evangelist's point clear, and Metzger agrees, writing, its meaning is crystal clear. But because these truths come to us in so few words, we have a tendency to read over them, failing not to regard them as we should. In truth, I think it is impossible. Of course, outside the Spirit of God, it absolutely is impossible for us to understand the depth of the truth we are about to read. But, family, we must try to gain, we must try to understand while we look to God that He might enlighten us. While we depend upon Him, let us apply ourselves being very careful to take these words, to eat of them, if you will, that we might digest them and get a glimpse of divine truth. And letter A, and if even the smallest seed of truth is planted in us, it will yield much good fruit. Please open your Bibles to John 1:1, and we will read through verse 5, with verses 3, 4, and 5 being the focus of our continuing study. And I say to you, attend yourself now to the word of the Lord, and we ask the Lord that he would add his blessings to the reading of his good word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. That is, before there ever was the beginning, the all-powerful, intelligent expression of God, that is, the Son of God, existed always. And the Word was with God the Father. He was with God the Father for all eternity past, before the Father expressed himself and his love to mankind by sending the Son to be the Savior of the world. And that we might understand that the Son is not a created being, but divine. Some false religions teach that he is a created being. To understand that he is not a created being, but divine, the scripture then continues by saying, and the Word was God. So as to remove all doubt as to what John the Beloved is expressing about the divine nature of Christ, John reiterates the truth, writing, he was. He always has been with God. Verse 3. All things came into being by him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. Roman numeral 1. All things came into being by him. Let us first consider the words by him. Here now, John clearly identifies that the Word is not a thing, not a concept or a notion, not an inanimate material object, but a real existing person. And I say not even a material person, for John is speaking of the time before Christ came in the flesh, taking on the likeness of man. But here John identifies that the Word is a real existing person. And of course, in verse 14, that we find that this person came in flesh. And in verse 17, that his name is Jesus, who is the Christ. There is no doubt that the Word in verses 1 and 2 is a person who is identified as Jesus, the only begotten of God. Now, I think you all know that, but I think it's good to make sure that we know it. The scripture says all things came into being by him. Letter A, all creation, not some things, not most things, but all things came into being by Jesus Christ. Through the Eternal One, Jesus Christ, all things came into existence. Did you notice the mountains this morning? Yes. Praise God. Through Jesus Christ, those mountains came to be. And some scientists will laugh and he'll say, oh no, preacher, how can you be so silly? Those mountains were once at the bottom of an ocean, and through traumatic volcanic activity, the mountain was lifted up as the plates of the earth slid against each other. Well, then I would ask you, who made the rock that it could be lifted up? And who made the magma? And at whose command did the magma lift the rock a mile high? Think of it. Where does such mighty power come from? And the answer is, all things came into being by him. Have you stood at the top of the mountain and considered the river below? It and all rivers and creeks, all ponds and all lakes and all waterfalls and all the deeps and all the tides and all the rains and all the snows came into being by Christ Jesus. And that river has not made one twist or turn, and rain has not fallen in one spot or another, and snow has not fallen and accumulated except by the will of Jesus Christ. For by him all things came into being, for Jesus Christ is God. I ask you, have you ever sat at the edge of the ocean and pondered its vastness. Have you ever had the privilege of being on a cruise and stood at the rail at night and looked out into the deep? That's an awesome experience. It's spooky. The ocean family came into being through Jesus Christ. Have you ever been out to the zoo or in the wild? Every animal came to be through Christ Jesus. Have you ever seen a sunset? That massive ball of fire and those glorious radiant colors came to be through Jesus. Have you looked up into the midnight sky and observed the craters on the moon? Have you gazed at the endless array of stars on a moonless night and sat in awe and wonder? Beloved, these came to be through Jesus. Have you ever seen a newborn baby with the tiniest little fingers and perfect little fingernails? Who taught that baby to breathe and to eat? I tell you, it is glorious. Is it not glorious? Amen. And that baby comes out of the mother's womb living and breathing with a personality all of its own, with a footprint and fingerprints that never has and never will be duplicated. Think of it. The expression of the glory of God is written all over life, for a child came through Jesus Christ. What a glorious God we serve. The eye that you see me with today, the ear you hear me with, the mind you process what you see and hear came into being through Christ Jesus. Our taste buds, our sense of touch, the emotions we feel, the joy we know in Christ, all of this came to being by Jesus, for all things came into being by Him. You can search for answers all your life, all you who do not believe God. You can spend your entire life and all the resources of a great nation in your quest to understand the origin of man, but here in the text of Scripture lies the answers, and it's given freely. All things came into being through Jesus Christ. And when your search is over, you who do not believe, and your days will end, since it is God who has ordained the very number of your days, you will be brought before the holy God whom you rejected, and then you will know that the answer He freely gave and you ignored and arrogantly dismissed was the true answer. I say today, while you still have breath, you would do well to consider the questions God asked of Job. Thus says the Lord, beginning at Job 38:4, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Now that's enough to silence a man right there. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when the bursting forth, when it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it, and I set a bolt and doors, and I said, "Thus far you shall come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves stop." Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. For who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain on a land without people, on a desert without a man in it, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass to sprout? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given it birth? Water becomes hard like a stone, and on the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Can you bind the chains of Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in a season and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Think of it. Listen, church, and hear the word of the Lord. All things came into being by him. And now, church, I ask you, is it any small thing that this one through whom all things came into being also took on flesh for the purpose that he might suffer and die, being humiliated and sacrificed for you? Is our life worth so much to the Creator and to the Creator alone? And Christ Jesus is the Creator, and he is the expression of the love of God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Letter B, apart from Christ Jesus, not one thing, or more literally, not even the first thing, came into being that has come into being. From first to last, all that exists, exists through Jesus Christ. All that is has been brought about by the intelligent, powerful, and active expression of God, and therefore all creation expresses the glory of God. Did you miss it? When you saw the mountains, when you looked down to the river, when you see the oceans, when you see a newborn baby, did you miss it? All of this is an expression of the glory of God. Number one, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. And therefore all are without excuse. I tell you, the creation is marvelous. Is it not marvelous? It expresses the gloriousness of God until man is without excuse, for God is clearly and irrefutably communicated in creation. But depraved man, in rejecting the massively profound truth of John 1:3, and seeing then that creation is indeed wonderful, worships the creation rather than the one who created it, rather than the one it is an expression of. And Romans 1:25 says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But the day will come when all will kneel before the Lord and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen as this same John the Beloved, records his revelation. Revelation 4:1-8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and night and day do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Can you imagine that heavenly scene? Beloved, if you believe, one day you will see it. Amen? Praise God. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. A chapter later, Revelation 5, he begins to say in verses 11 through 13, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Every created thing will worship him, glorify him. Why? Because all things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All creation was created to glorify the Lord. And the day will come that that will be perfectly fulfilled. Christ Jesus is not a created being, as some false religions hold. But being the creator, he is God, for in the beginning, God created. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Before we dig into this verse, we need to be reminded about the word was, as employed here. Do you remember we talked about it just for a moment last week? It is in the imperfect tense, and it does not designate one particular point in time, but it refers to continuous, or if you will, linear action that had always been even before time. So in him had always been life. Here we come to another great theme of this gospel, that in him, Christ Jesus, the Word, was life. So Roman numeral 2, in Jesus had always been life. The Greek word zoe, translated life here, appears 35 times in this book. It is fundamental that we understand the meaning of this word. Letter A, the word life, Greek zoe, in an absolute sense, speaks of the source of all life. If we are going to catch the full and most important meaning of this word, we must be sure to go beyond the thought of physical life and think more on the idea of spiritual life. Remember, God is alive and he is spirit. In him was life. Yes, physical life, but moreover, spiritual life, the power of life, the source of life. In him was life, then, refers to the fact that he always was alive and was and is self-existent. Life is in him. He can't quit living. He was always alive. He always will be alive. He is the source of life. There never was a point that the Word did not exist, nor was he ever dependent upon anything for his existence. Therefore, he is the source of all life. Again, the emphasis being on the source of spiritual life. Yes, of course, he is the source of physical life, but more importantly, he is and always has been the source of spiritual life, for he is the creator. Now, to be sure, this is not to say that life was not in the Father or the Spirit, for of course, those three are one. But as John makes his case that Jesus is eternal and is God and is the source of life, he directly tells us that life was in him. And this, again, is to put down all the false teachings. Some will say, oh, yes, Jesus was a good man. Oh, he was a son of God, but he was created by God. They'll say all kinds of things, trying to deny the deity of Christ. But, beloved, if Jesus was simply a good man and not the eternal God, when he died on the cross, he could not have paid for our sins. That's the point. Only God is the pure, holy, and righteous one, and only God himself could pay the price for our sin. So if we take away the deity of Christ, we have no Savior. Okay? So we must understand, John is driving this home. Number one, that life was in him. That life was in him is important to understand, for it is this fact that gives meaning to such verses as of Scripture as John 5, 24 through 25. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of life into death, out of death into life. Get that straight. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. And John 10, 27 through 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. This is amazing. Our Lord speaks of His word and His voice and of the dead hearing and coming to have eternal life. How can He say all these things? Because in Him is life. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Listen to the claim Jesus makes. This is in your notes. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is why John wrote, as we've quoted the last 3 weeks, chapter 20, verses 31, 30 and 31, many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life where? In His name. For anybody to make such claims as this would be completely ludicrous and impossible to fulfill unless, of course, in such a one was life. And the scripture says, in Him was life. In Him there is life. Letter B, and the life was the light of men. Or in Him had always been the light of men. Now again, we have the idea of the physical and the spiritual mixed together, but the overwhelming emphasis is on the spiritual. In regard to the physical, which is a type or a shadow of the spiritual, in regard to the physical, the life was the light of men in so much that in the beginning, when the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground, that the dust was dead and it was lifeless without light. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And so number one, being a created living being, man came into being by him, for apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. For the life, Jesus, is the light of men. Man needs to search for the origin of life no longer, for the scripture declares that the origin of life is Christ. Can you believe this is written in just a few words, this great profound truth? And all the struggles for ages and ages man has gone through to try to discover the origin of life. Can you believe that? They won't believe this word. But they'll find some little bone fragment of a fossil somewhere. And have an artist draw up some kind of Neanderthal man and say, oh, that's where we came from. No wonder mankind is hopeless. If we all evolved from a bunch of apes who evolved from some mire that came out of the dredges of the mud, no wonder. Can you believe that in the search for significance, man finds these things that makes him insignificant? Oh, God thwarts the plans of the wise. He thwarts them. The very thing they look for, they lose because it's not there. Number two, but spiritually speaking, and more to the point of the text, Christ Jesus is the spiritual light of men, or you could say the spiritual life of men. That is, the one who has intelligently and powerfully communicated God to mankind, and in so doing, who has shown the light, that is the truth, the more purity, the holiness, the life and person of God to mankind, and through whom man is granted the same eternal life that is in him. Christ Jesus is the light of men, for he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his nature. Are we getting any clue of what's being said here? These are powerful words. He has enlightened mankind. How do we know the love of God? He manifested it through his Son. Amen? He has enlightened mankind, revealing or communicating to the Father to us. Jesus said, John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. The Apostle Paul said Christ is the image of God. And that it is in the face of Christ, the radiant, glorious face of Jesus Christ, that God has shown the light of His glory in our hearts. Letter A, Jesus said, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Therefore, just as He can take lifeless dirt and make it a living being, He is the one who can take one who is spiritually dead and make them spiritually alive. This is why Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus saying, and this is in Ephesians chapter 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sin. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. But God stepped in. But God, rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. Praise God. Amen. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the light of life. When a man is in his sin, he is spiritually dead. He may physically think. He may physically walk. He may physically talk. He may physically act. But he is a thinking, talking, walking, acting dead man. Being spiritually dead in his trespasses and sin, there is no light of life in him. But Jesus, the Word, the one in whom is life and the light of men, said, John 5:24-25, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death to life. And then we would say, but how can a spiritually dead man hear spiritual words of life, Lord? And he answers at verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. The one in whom is the light of life said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. Church, by grace you have been saved. Listen. Jairus' daughter, Mark 5, and the only son of the widowed mother at Nain, Luke 7, and Lazarus, John 11, were all dead. They were dead. Their life had left them. And though they did not choose to be raised from the dead, for they could not will it because they were dead, Christ Jesus, in whom is life by grace, shone the light of life upon them, and their life returned. Beloved, just the same, spiritually speaking, Christ Jesus, in whom is life, is the light of men. And he takes those who are dead in their sin and causes them to hear his voice, that they might be spiritually alive evermore. And someone might say, well, God won't violate their will. No, he's not violating their will. They're dead. They don't have a will. They can't will for God. They're dead. But God causes the dead to hear the voice of the Son, and those who hear shall live. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and those who hear shall live. By grace you have been saved. It is glorious. Amen. Now, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So Roman numeral 3, the light shines in the darkness. The word darkness is a definite article, so it refers to something very specific. Letter A, darkness is a figurative term for evil and all its consequence. That's one of the things about some of the Greek words, is it includes not only the meaning of something, but all that follows after it. Darkness is a figurative term for evil and all of its consequence. So darkness represents evil, all that is in opposition to the light. Darkness is everything that opposes the true light. Satan and his demons, evil, sinful men, immorality. And it also includes that which is the result of such things, death and destruction. But as a candle shines brightly in a dark room and seems brighter the darker the room, Christ Jesus, the light of God, has shone brightly in a sin-darkened world. Jesus came and he was a stark contrast to mankind, even the religious men. And here now, then we have one of the saddest statements of all Scripture. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not comprehend the light. Now I confess to you that commentators and Greek scholars are scattered on the meaning of the word comprehend. One of my favorite and most trusted commentators takes a position that can make sense, but it seems to ignore the immediate context. And then you read one and read another and you read one Greek definition and somebody else's Greek definition and they come out differently. But I think if we allow the context to have the dominant influence here, I also think that we will have a good and clear understanding of what is being communicated. But I would tell you this. Please do study this for yourselves, for the different understandings are credible and they are quite interesting. Number one, the word comprehend means to understand or apprehend. I believe the NIV rightly catches the meaning, saying, but the darkness has not understood it. Having not comprehended the light, the darkness rejects the light through unbelief. In fact, the darkness is in rebellion to the light, for men love the darkness rather than the light. John 3:19. John 1:10 and 11 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The darkness did not comprehend. Verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. The darkness did not comprehend him. Number two, though the word communicated God clearly, and the light of God shone brightly, and though darkness can overcome the light, sinful men refuse to comprehend nor believe that Jesus is the eternal God. And therefore they have no part or portion of the light of life, for their heart is not right with God. The darkness did not comprehend the light, and so evil men did not receive him. But instead, they crucified our Lord. Can you imagine the eternal Son of God, to express the love of God, takes on flesh, comes to the earth, lives a perfect life, and they crucify him? We should be careful, church, that we never adopt the world's view of success. We have this idea in the church of what success is, but often it's the world's view of success. It might just be that as we live holy and righteous lives in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will be persecuted for it. It might just be that there will come a day when if we take a right stand for Christ, that many will leave us. We must be careful. Our Lord Jesus was perfect, and they crucified him. They did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God, very God himself. And by rejecting him, they have rejected life, for life was in him, and the life was the light of men. And it is still that way today. Nothing's changed since the days of John. Nothing's changed. In the dark, lightless dungeon of sin, sinful men and the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, are excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. How they search for answers to their origin. How they desire to live forever in joy and peace. And all the world says, peace, peace. But with darkened minds, they refuse to comprehend and believe the clear and concise written word of God. And according to John 5:40, such are unwilling to come to Jesus to gain eternal life. Our closing words. One can spend their entire life in a world of resources searching for answers to the meaning and extending of life. But until they cease their search and believe the word, they will be eternally lost and eternally condemned. Let us hear and comprehend this. The great enemy of the truth comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Christ has come that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Would you please bow your heads with me? As your heads are bowed, I would like to talk to you for a few moments. And I would like to ask you personally where you are today. Have you been searching for an answer? Have you been wondering what your life is all about? Have you found that as you look at your life, it seems empty? The first step, friends, to finding the reason and the meaning of life is to believe that all life has come from Christ. And if you will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the true words that John has been relating to us, if you will believe this, you will be saved. Eternal life is found in Christ, for the life was the light of men. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, God, very God himself. Believe this, and you will be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown us in sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today that we have your holy word to read. And Lord, let us understand that your word is the divine authority. No opinion of man, no scientific work, no other authority overrides your word, but your word is dominant. Let us believe it. Let us believe, O God, the words we have read. Let us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, God, very God himself, and that life originated in him. And also let us believe that his light has shone brightly in the darkness. Lord, for us we ask for your mercy, that we will comprehend. Let us understand, Lord, that this is a matter of eternal life and eternal condemnation. Let us believe, O God. Grant us faith, everyone, we pray. And Lord, then may we walk in the light even as you are in the light. And may we realize, Lord, the security we have in you. As you have said yourself, Lord, all whom the Father gives you will come to you, and you will not lose a one. So, Lord, as we have come to you, we know it is because God, the Father, has given us to you, and, Lord, that you will keep us. Your name is worthy to be praised, and so we praise you. And all these things we have prayed in the beautiful, wondrous name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe the truth of the Word of God?
Yes.
Then let us go live a life exalting our Lord. Amen. He is the King. May God bless you as you go your way today.